song, amen? Jesus Messiah. Had to do that one again very soon. But this morning, we're going to be looking in our scriptures this morning, the sacred meaning of Passover. I did it back in October as I was doing my spiritual week and planning for this whole year. This day, I chose the sacred meaning of the Passover. I hadn't nailed down the title, but I knew the scripture I'd be using. And I knew that our resurrection services are beginning soon. And on March 2nd, we would be taking communion together as well. And I don't know if you've thought much about this or studied the scriptures pertaining to the Passover, but the New Testament, the observance of the Lord's Supper, goes right along with the Passover from the Old Testament. And I want to give clarity on the origin and the meaning of both. I mean, I like to have the whole day explaining this to you, but I only have a limited time to share a message on the Passover. But what a perfect time of the year as we're moving towards Easter just in a few weeks. So this is why I've chosen this scripture this morning. So if you'll return with me to Exodus chapter 12, I'll be reading 1 through 13. And chapter 12 here, the first 13 verses, is talking about the Passover lamb. And it's the chapter following the last plague that was brought upon Egypt because they was holding the Israelites captivity. And God's plan prevailed, and they were released. So if you have time today, if you want to go back and read some of these chapters that leads up to chapter 12, that would be wonderful. So let's begin with verse 1, Exodus chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be a beginning of the months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they shall each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of the persons in them, according to what each man should eat, you shall to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill at twilight. Now that's somewhere between sunrise and sundown, that twilight. That if you look in the original language, that's what that means. And that's why it's listed twilight. Okay, verse 7. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And verse 9 explains why. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water. It says at all with water. But rather roasted with fire, both its heads, its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning. But whatever is left of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Now that's signifying burnt offerings, burnt sacrifices. Nothing is to ever have been left. Everything has to be consumed, okay? That's how they did it. All right, verse 11. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments. Why? I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now, if you read on down in verse 23, it talks about the destroyer or the angel of death. And also in Hebrews 11:28, in the faith chapter, it also talks about this occurring and taking place, the angel of death or destroyer will come through that night. So, in a few weeks, it's going to be Easter, in which we will be celebrating Jesus' resurrection. And this morning, we will be observing the Lord's Supper, and it is called the Passover meal, as described right here in Exodus chapter 12. Now, the origin of the Lord's Supper just so happens to be the Passover, of which Jesus and his disciples partook on the night before his crucifixion. It is called the Passover meal. And many times we think of the Passover as being a Jewish observance, but I'm hoping to show you this morning in our passage of scriptures and in this message, it can be a meaningful experience for Christians just as well. Now, it is meaningful because of the symbolisms that we read right here and other places in the Bible, and how it can remind us of the Lord's, what he has done by freeing us from the bondage of sin and bringing us into the promised land of eternal life in Christ Jesus. So with that, let's begin with the origin and the meaning of the Passover, Exodus chapter 12, 1 through 13. Here, we encounter the setup to the final plague on Egypt. And again, if you want to read about that, it's in chapter 11, the previous chapter, before we get here to chapter 12, which is the last plague, which is the death, the angel of death passing through and taking the firstborn of all mankind. So, back in chapter 11 that I just mentioned, we see verse 1, kind of Moses explaining exactly what God told him to do. And here, this verse says, "And the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether." Now, with all the plagues, you know, you think that Pharaoh would have got the message from God. but he kept changing his mind to the point that God hardened his heart, and then he forced him out, said, leave. But that wasn't the final episode for Pharaoh, because he went after him after that and found his doom. So, as the scripture revealed, this last plague here would result in the liberation of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And if you recall, they prayed over 400 years that God would deliver them. And God sent Moses and said, you go and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I have heard their prayers. You know, 400 years, you thinking about that? Well, there's been some discipline and understanding of disobedience all those years in exile. And you hope that Israel had learned something in their obedience with God. So in our main text here, we are shown that provisions for Israel's rescue, the destroyer. And that's the death angel that's mentioned in verse 23. But the people were to kill a male lamb without blemish. In verse 5, at twilight, that's verse 6, and then smear its blood on the doorpost and lintel of their homes in verse 7. And in verse 13, the Lord said, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now, we also learned that they were supposed to eat the lamb, the flesh, it says, that was slain, and partake of the meal with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, in verse 8. Both this special night and meal is called, again, the Passover. That's the Passover. That's where it gets. The Passover, deliverance of Egypt from Egypt. But the Passover is signifying that when God sees the blood over the doorpost and lintel, that the death angel will pass by and would be no death in that home. Now, let's look at the New Testament application of this. Here we see the Passover. And now, let's look at the New Testament application of Passover. And I hope you will learn something this morning about the Passover and the Lord's observance of the Lord's service are synonymous. They go hand in hand, and they mean the same thing, but I want to clarify that this morning. So the Passover represented Israel's freedom to slavery, the 400 years that they've been in exile, but also the symbolic of our freedom from the bondage of sin, our freedom as well. Why? Jesus came to this world. He died for our sins. He freed us from the darkness of sin. And according to John 1:29, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All the world. Everyone. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sins. He became our Passover lamb, and when the Israelites smeared the blood on the doorpost of the lamb and the lintel, the stroke of their hands formed the symbol of the cross. And because of grace that we would receive through Jesus Christ on the cross where Jesus died. See the symbolism there? The shed blood, the blood over the doorpost, the passing over, and Jesus shed blood on the cross. That's why Jesus says in the New Testament, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. I am your sacrifice. So our Lord's Supper originated with the Passover. Think about that. It originated with the Passover. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 through 8, now I want to look, I'll read verse 7 and 8, but you can go back and read 4 through 8 sometime today. But to give you a picture of what the New Testament says about the Passover, in verse 7 it says, "For indeed Christ our Passover." See, even in 1 Corinthians, in the New Testament, it calls it the Passover, was sacrificed for us, talking about Jesus Christ. "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." There it is. There. Clicker didn't work. Okay. So what I want us to catch here is that Paul advised in reference to the Passover right here. He made a reference to it right here. And then he said, "There let us keep the feast." And when we read in 1 Corinthians, I'll be using that scripture today, where it said, according to the scriptures, Christ died for our sins, and it was revealed to him to write those words. Now, this tells me that the Christians are supposed to remember the Passover. That's why it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." However, so to set this in our minds at ease, you know, I will say that we do observe the Passover each and every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper. It's just a different version or shorter version of the main Passover that the Jewish took back in the Old Testament. Now, let's look at some of the elements. I won't go through all of those, but just give you a highlight of what the Passover feast was about. So as Christians, we partake of the Lord's Supper on a regular basis because it is the church ordinance. The Passover is not a New Testament church ordinance, but if we feel led, it is acceptable to observe the Passover. And when we choose to observe it, we need to keep in mind that the Passover meal includes a few elements in addition to the bread and the cup, the juice that we take. And, you know, when we do the agape meal, it's a simulation of the symbols of the things that they ate then that we eat, that we'll be eating on Monday, Thursday. We call the agape meal. The Passover is a formal meal, such as what we do take with the agape meal. Each symbolizes to teach us the story of redemption. It is meaningful worship experience, isn't it? Each year that we do that, you know, and we could do it more often. Symbolizing the Passover and the Lord's Supper synonymous together. So numerous Protestant churches and denominations, including Baptist churches, are beginning to incorporate the Passover into their yearly services, so like we do at the Agape Meal. So those who participate have expressed that it was a new experience for them and that they would not have missed it for anything. It was very meaningful. So, yes, it is. Each time we take the Lord's service, Lord's Supper, it is meaningful. It is a wonderful experience. So now, let's look quickly at the Lord's Supper, or communion as we call it. Now I want us to focus just for a moment here, thinking about what we'll be doing in a few minutes with the Lord's Supper. We'll have this great privilege of partaking the observance of the Lord's Supper this morning. The Lord's Supper is a very meaningful experience just like the Passover meals that we do each year at Easter time. It is, in fact, scaled down version of the Passover, as I said a few minutes ago. However, the two symbol utilizes the Lord's Supper, a holy communion, and are the most important ones. They're very, very important. Very important for us to remember. And they are the bread, the wine, or the juice that we partake of. In Mark chapter 22 through 24, we see the two symbols that Mark tells us about the meaning concerning the Passover, which is where the Lord's Supper was initiated. Jesus initiated the Lord's Supper. And in Mark chapter 14, verse 22, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Just like God told the Israelites to eat the lamb, that was signifying the sacrificial lamb, signifying the coming Messiah, Jesus Messiah. It was just sung a few minutes ago, the coming Messiah and his shed blood. And then verse 23, "Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it." And verse 24, "And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the New Testament, in which is shed for many.'" The bread represents Jesus' body that was bruised on the cross, beaten and battered beyond unrecognition. And the blood was shed as he died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. As Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior." The wages of sin cost Jesus his life. The Passover lamb shed blood, his bruised body and shed blood. So as I conclude this morning, in John's gospel, the apostle declared in John 3:14, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up," and he's talking about on the cross, "that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is. And the Jews took that very serious about their freedom from Egypt, going in towards the promised land. And our promised land, one of these days, is going to be heaven. Amen? It's, God is preparing that for each one of us who believe in him as Lord and Savior. So as Easter is approaching, as we reflect on the Passover and the Lord's Supper, let us remember our Passover lamb is Jesus Christ, who was slain for all the sins of the world. You know, I never take anything for granted when we meet together. You know, we all have a privilege, an opportunity as the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, and he moves in the sanctuary in a setting like this. I've known people all the years of my life that was maybe much older than myself, attend church, do all the good things that we are expected to do, who sit through services like this, and who hears the gospel, who hears messages about the Passover, the observance of the Lord's Supper, and all the great things that Jesus did while he was here on earth. That he came to this earth to die for our sins, that he was a Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, came to remove all sin, the darkness of this world, and yet never, ever have confessed him as their personal Savior, as Lord. And that's why we give invitations. Because we don't know. Only you know if you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is personal. Jesus takes everything personal between you and myself and him. And that's why we give invitations. And I never know who's listening to our services live, but this message is for everyone who is in ears hearing. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us that we are to examine ourselves as Christians when we take the Lord's Supper. So, it's a time of examination before the invitation begins. Lord, where am I? Do I know you personally? Do I know you as my Savior and Lord? If not, what a perfect time to do that today. This is not my invitation, it's God's invitation, right? I'm just his spokesman, called to share and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and lead the shepherd of this church, God's people. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare for our Lord's Supper this morning. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your great love. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us all the instruction, everything that we need to know about the Passover, about the observance of the Lord's Supper, what took place and how it originated, and how we are to remember you each time that we present the bread and the cup, which is a new covenant, New Testament covenant for all mankind. Whoever's listening live this morning, and each and every one of us here, it is a time of examination, Lord, to maybe if we know that we're all have made that profession of faith of Christ, repent of our sins and accepted you as our personal Savior, sometimes we just need to renew, do a renewal of our relationship with you fresh and anew. Because we know that we sin even though we're Christians. Well, we know that we've been forgiven past, present, future. But we cannot sin, so more grace will abound. Paul says we shouldn't even think about that. That's why we live by grace. That's why it's always sufficient in time of need. Every day is a time with you, Lord, that we can be confronted about our lives and what we need to do to renew our relationship with you daily. Take this invitation, Lord. Use it in your honor and your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we stand as we sing our hymn of invitation. Page 175 in your hymn books.